1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Sorry, we're just having some technical difficulty. We'll be with you in a second.
One, two. Nou, is van mute af, ja. Hallo? Moet die groenig nie ook aanwees nie? There we go.
Good morning, everyone. Well, obviously, what was the purpose of that exercise is that we are incredibly different, okay, in more ways than you can imagine. Whether it is beef or chicken, that last question was a little bit freaky, but we're all different. And obviously, when you're different, let me just get a feel for how long we've been married. Who of us have been married for a year or less? Can you just put up your hand? A year or less. Okay, so the minority. Between 1 year and 5 years, 5 and 10, 10 and 20, 20 and 30, 30 and above. Why don't the 30 and above stand up? Let's just congratulate them. Stand up, please. We want to see who you are. Now, when you've been married for a while, like that whole crew there has been 30 and above, you obviously realize that people are different. You'll, for instance, notice that a man will pay 200 Rand for a 100 Rand item that he really wants. A woman will pay 100 Rand for a 200 item that she doesn't want, but it was on sale. Women worry about the future until they get married. Men, though, never worry about the future until they get married. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend, and a successful woman is one who can find such a man. To be happy with a man, you must understand him a lot and love him little. To be happy with a woman, you must love her a lot and not try to understand her at all. Married men live longer than single men, but married men are a lot more willing to die. A married man should forget his mistakes. There is no use in two people remembering the same thing. You'll see the thing gets a little bit slanted now. I didn't make it up, I just found it. Men wake up as good-looking as they went to bed. Women somehow deteriorate during the night. Again, I did not write this. Now, I'm sure none of the men laughed at that. A woman marries a man expecting that he will change, but he doesn't. A man marries a woman expecting that she won't change, but she does. A woman has the last word in any argument. Anything a man says after that is just the beginning of a new argument. Then there are two times when a man doesn't understand a woman. Or does understand a woman. That's before marriage and after marriage. Okay, we are very different as men and women. And because we are so different, we will go through different seasons in our lives and in our marriage. And what we're going to talk about today is the four seasons of marriage and how one is able to transition through them. We're going to be starting with autumn. Now, autumn is one of the clear changes in season. You clearly see it by the leaves changing. It can be quite pretty. You have different colors of leaves depending on what you obviously planted in your garden. But some remain green, they get brown, they get yellow, they get orange. And it can look quite pretty too. It sort of changes in from autumn into early winter. The wind comes in, blows it all away, and suddenly your garden is left bare. And that's not so pretty anymore. Now, in many ways, if your marriage is an autumn season, it can be the same thing. I mean, from the outside, your marriage is actually looking quite okay. People might even comment on your marriage and say, wow, that couple really has a good marriage. But in autumn, although things seem like they're okay from the outside, in the inside, the couple usually knows that something's wrong. They can't exactly pinpoint it. They don't know exactly what it is, but there's an uneasiness about it because they feel something is not going right, and instead of moving forward, our marriage is moving backwards.
The emotions during autumn is feelings of insecurity. It's we don't know what's going on exactly. Like Vanna said, something's changing. It's feelings of, does my husband, is he aware that things are going on? There's confusion. I don't know how to move forward in this. Is it me? There's anxiety, loneliness, a sadness, frustration. I think in the later stages of autumn, it's feelings of neglect and being disengaged emotionally and also physically. Because I think the couple tends to blame each other for what's going wrong. And most of the time, like Vanna said, you're not completely aware of what is actually changing. So you get jolted back to reality by some crisis, whether someone gets, you know, one of the spouses gets ill or the kids leave the house. It's something that happens that shows you where your marriage is truly at. I know after we had kids, our first child, we were going through some autumn stages and didn't realize it. We knew something was changing here. And I remember we sat in a counseling session with a friend. He was going to marry a couple. They're not a part of our fellowship, but we were sitting in. And man, this couple, they just loved each other. You know, it was, I mean, I sat there, and I felt nauseous. I was just like, what's wrong with you guys? You know, the girl was just so in love. It's like he couldn't do anything wrong. They were sitting on top of each other. I was like, back off, you know. And I got so irritated by them because all the situation was revealing is how distant Van and I was from each other. You know, and that situation really opened our eyes to see, sure, we're not at a good place at all.
We walked out of this. It was the funniest thing. We were just joined. A friend of ours, we're going to marry this couple. He said, hey, join and maybe you can connect with them. They live closer to our house. And we listened to them, and she obviously, in Lisa's eyes, he was just the model dude. I mean, he was just kind to her and loving and sweet as pie and what have you. And I looked at her and said, man, look at how a building she is towards this dude. And, oh, man, she's just, wow, you know. And we both sat there. We didn't say anything. But in our hearts, we felt like, I thought, man, wow, if Lisa could only be more like her. And Lisa, obviously, unbeknownst to me, thought that if I could only be more like him. And so by the time they walked out the door, the leaves fell. And it was clear that we were actually moving out of autumn straight into winter, which we can talk about a little bit more. But how do you get into autumn season? The greatest contributor to autumn season in marriage is neglect or taking no action at all. In other words, when you neglect your marriage, or you take no action in your marriage. It can be basic things like you neglect making time to talk on a very regular basis. And it might seem weird, but if you have a couple of children, you start understanding, on a daily basis, making time to talk. taking time to listen. Taking time to go on dates. No, we'll go on a date. We'll get around to it. We'll get there. We'll do it at some point. And you neglect these very basic things. Neglect having fun when everything is very serious. And before you know it, because you neglect it, or because you don't pay attention, you develop your own interests. You start leading completely separate lives. You do your own thing. You meet your own needs. You push all your energy into other things, whether it be your career and your children. And with the blink of an eye, you have nothing in common. And with a blink of an eye, you suddenly realize, how did we end up here? What happened? If you realize you're in autumn, you obviously have one or two choices. You can either take positive steps and move back into spring or summer, but then you're going to have to take action. And you're going to have to say, we're going to have to do ABC here. I'm going to have to pay attention so we can move back there. Or you can take more destructive, make more destructive choices, and you'll shift into winter. But you can get out. But if you want to get out, you'll have to talk. And this is a big difference whether you'll stand or whether you'll move from autumn to spring or whether you'll move from autumn to winter, is your willingness to talk. Thinking it and feeling it and not saying it will not resolve it. Okay? So whatever it is that you're feeling, what it is that you're thinking, you have to be able and pick the right time and place, but you have to be able to say yes and here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling, and you have to resolve it. And if you resolve it, you're able to move to spring or summer. If you don't, and you remain quiet, and you think summer's going to fix itself, you won't. You will shift into winter. Let's go to winter. We're obviously somewhere between autumn and winter right now. I think maybe shifting into winter quicker than what we want. The nice thing about winter season, how many of us loves the winter season? Okay. You can go now. Okay, a couple of us. There's obviously a couple of nice things about winter. You can sit in front of the fireplace. It's hot chocolate or coffee. It's soup. It's sleeping in if you maybe have the opportunity. What's not so cool about winter for me on a personal level, certainly is traffic. I don't know if you've noticed, but people can't drive in winter season. Everything just moves slower in winter season somehow. It would be the same road, and it's just everything moves slower. It's wet. It's cold. It's I don't know about you, but I think for us, it is hard to get out of bed. Somehow it feels wrong. if the alarm clock goes off and it's raining outside and it's dark and it's wet, somehow it just doesn't feel right. Like a winter can be tough. A winter season in marriage can be very tough. Sort of signs when you're there is there's a couple, they were in winter season in their marriage and they really didn't want to talk to each other at all. It's giving each other silent treatment. And they had to go to a wedding, and it's hundreds of kilometers away from them, and driving through the farmlands. And eventually, after hours of silence, they drive through the farmland, and there's some pigs on the one side. And the wife says to the husband, she breaks the silence, and she says, "Oh, are relatives of yours?" And he turns to her and says, "Yes, in-laws." Now, winter season is never a good time. It's time where there's a lot of hurt felt. There is anger. You feel angry with your spouse. You feel disappointed with your spouse. This is not what I hoped for. This is not where I thought we would be. This is not what you promised. The day of saying those vows, you want to play them the tape. it's just, you feel lonely. You feel emotionally empty, like there's nothing to give. It feels like your spouse doesn't only not love you, they don't even like you, and they don't respect you. And you're not, in all honesty, sure if you love them, like them, or respect them. It's not fun at all. Your marriage certainly doesn't flow, and you don't even feel like you have the energy to make it flow. One of the things that certainly characterizes marriages in winter season as negative attitudes. You see the worst in everything. And Lisa and I have certainly gone through a bad patch in winter. Are you going to talk about that? I can't remember. I mean, well, we certainly went through a bad patch in winter where you literally see the worst. The other person cannot do right. We've been in times a couple of years ago, and I've shared about this number of times publicly, is we've been to in a place where I went to Lisa and I said, "Listen here, you know what? I don't feel like coming home in the afternoon. I really don't. I mean, it's just, I'm not happy. I don't feel like I want to come home." And she said, "Well, you know what? I don't want you to come home." I was like, "Sure." quite taken aback, but clear signs of winter. You disagree on almost everything. I mean, it's the basics. You just simply cannot get along. You become very critical of one another. There's very little affirmation, very little of encouragement or building up one another. There's very little affection. Every problem is perceived to be as too big to overcome. And whenever it is that you try to talk about your relationship, it just always somehow seems to end up in an argument. You obviously blame yourself, your spouse, for the decline of the relationship. And it's things like, well, if only he would do this, then I would be happier. If only she would do that, then we wouldn't be in this mess. But it's a constant blaming. Those are clear signs of winter.
I think, like Vanna said, our natural tendency in winter is to avoid the elements. I mean, it's raining outside and you run inside. In a winter marriage, we also want to avoid the elements, and the element is your spouse. And so communication breaks down to a bare minimum. It's often just about who does what, when. There's no flow. Like Vanna said, you end up living independent lives. You're emotionally, physically isolated from one another, although you're in the same house. And it's cold and it's harsh. It's definitely not pleasant. It's bitter. And I think you can think, oh, somehow the problems will just go away. But they don't. Unless you take positive steps forward, they will go from bad to worse. Now, the question is, what brings us there? What brings us to winter in our marriages? It's the unwillingness to consider the other person's perspective and to work towards a meaningful compromise. Because we, like that, we're different. And I think when you get in a lockjaw position of one person feels very strongly about something, and, you know, the husband feels strongly and the wife, and you can't come to a meaningful compromise, is when you're moving away from one another. I know for Van and myself, it was definitely, again, around kids. We realized we couldn't really have kids after our first pregnancy. And, you know, I remember feeling like, I mean, it seems so silly now, but I remember feeling back then, if I don't have more kids, I'll die. You know, that's how I felt emotionally. And I felt like, sure, if we have more kids, I'll die. You know, we just responded so differently to having children. And that really, that was really a shock for us and hard to work through that. And all couples have differences and difficulties. That's not the problem. It's how we negotiate through those differences that puts us in winter. I think what is very positive about winter, though, is, or the good news is, that if you persevere and grow through it, you emerge stronger on the other side and more committed to each other.
From that time, we had two more children. So, needless to say, I'm the one that died. winter can happen anytime. It can happen early in marriage. It can happen 50 years down the line. It can happen in between those two periods, and it can happen several times. And it might feel, when you're in winter time, and we've certainly been there, and we've seen many couples be there, and we've helped many couples get out of it, is when you're there, it feels like you simply cannot get out. This is it. We've had several couples sit in front of us and say, this is it for us. Okay, we're here as a last resort. We have been the couple that said, this is it for us. Okay, it's the last resort. But what I want to say to you, if you're in winter season, if you are willing and you seek help, you can get out of winter season. Okay, you don't have to stay there. Now, let's talk about spring. Just before we head into spring, if you're driving our Hyundai Elantra, registration CA 159278. You're parking someone in that apparently urgently needs to leave. So if you could please move your car, they would appreciate it. Let's talk about springtime. Spring in nature is obviously a time of new beginnings. It's a very happy time. I love spring. I love the change of season. It sort of feels like, whew, the sun's going to come up earlier again. There's new hope again. And often that's how one starts a marriage. As you start in the springtime, it's a new life together. You tie the knot, you make the pledge to comfort your spouse, to keep them in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, for better or worse. forsaking all others, as long as you both shall live. Why do you do that? Because you have a lot of faith in what's going to happen here. You've got a lot of faith in your spouse. You've got a lot of faith in God and what He will do in your marriage. You've got a lot of hope for where you guys will go as a couple.
Like Vanna said, I think spring is it's exciting. It's feelings of joy and happiness, and you just can't get enough of each other. You know, it's just such a positive feeling. Nothing is too much. Nothing seems too expensive. Every day is just an opportunity to live out your love for your spouse. I mean, and you're consciously thinking of things to do or to say or to express just how much you love them. I mean, that's spring. There's a excitement to grow and to learn, how to communicate better, how to nurture our love. How can we be more open about ideas and our ideas and feelings? And it's not like you always agree. There's ups and downs. But the prevailing feeling is one of anticipating growth, not despair. It's exciting. There's a willingness to change. There's gratitude. You're grateful for your spouse. And there's a trust of, I believe the best in my spouse. I believe they're a person of integrity. And you trust their words and their actions. And so when you cultivate those attitudes, it's you go into spring.
Actions of spring, what does it look like? Is someone that's in spring, a time in their marriage, is constantly thinking about what they can do for their spouse? In other words, what is it that they can say or what is it that they can do? And this is not only in the new beginning. Spring can also come any time. It's certainly, marriage starts off that way. If it doesn't start off that way, then you're sort of in for a rough ride there in the beginning. But it certainly starts off that way. But it can happen any time, again, in between. From the very beginning up to 50 years, you can move into a springtime where something in you click and you realize, I just want to do something for you. I want to treat you special. And when you get home in the afternoon, you're thinking about the spouse first. In your budget, you're thinking about the spouse first. In your time, you're thinking about the spouse first. How can I express my love to my spouse? How can I stimulate a sense of excitement in our marriage? And it's not just random activities. The choices that you make and the things that you do are focused on bringing new life into your marriage. Because our marriages constantly need new life. We cannot live our marriages with the love or the effort that we put in when we courted one another 20 years ago. Okay, there needs to be new life breathed into it. You'll do it through reading books on marriage, attending workshops on marriage, but constantly looking and thinking, how can we put more into it, because I want my spouse to grow and I want us to grow. You'll make time for each other. You'll play together and you'll pray together. There'll be words of affirmation for your spouse. There will be acts of service. They will constantly be creating a positive environment, as in spring, where your marriage can blossom. But again, it is a choice that needs to be made to say, let's have a new beginning. Summer is fun. It's beach holidays. I see most of us actually enjoy the beach time, maybe the mountain people. I don't know if you want to go rather in the winter. But it's beach holidays, it's bris, it's camping, it's being outdoors, it's cycling, it's running. It's the same in a marriage. A marriage that is in summer season is a marriage where you feel like life is beautiful. And we are now in the summer season reaping the benefits of the efforts that we have sown through a long period of time. That period could be weeks, months, often that period might even be years. But because we've worked together as a team for years, because we have sown these little things, the new beginnings and the time and the conversations and the dates and the acts of service and the words of affirmation, because we've sowed that for years at end, you enter into summer. In summer, you'll feel happy. Or rather, you'll feel joyful. Even though life might have its twists and turns, you'll feel that your marriage and your home is a haven. It is a safe place. It's a place where you want to go to. You'll feel satisfied. You'll feel connected to your spouse. You'll feel that you are on the same page with things. And it doesn't mean you agree with everything, but even when you disagree, you know how to work it. You know how to deal with it. Are you there for each other? And you feel that you're spending your time with your best friend. If those are some of the feelings, then you're most probably in summer.
Like Vanna says, you're comfortable with one another. You know each other's weaknesses, but it doesn't affect how you feel about your spouse. You're okay with it. You've accepted it. You allow the challenges of your life to draw you closer to each other and not push you away. You speak each other's love languages. You feel good about your relationship. You're happy. You're satisfied. It's comfortable. And like Vanna said, I think a big thing about it is that couples in summer realize that it took a lot of hard work to get there. And so there's a sense of accomplishment. And we want to continue on this path. And so we want to continue to grow. There's a strong desire and an intention. It's very intentional that we'll keep on growing. It's purposeful.
And a summer marriage is like a beautiful garden. You have to keep your hand on it. You couldn't work in the garden, make it beautiful, and then let it be for months at end and think you're going to live in a beautiful garden. And sometimes people make that mistake in summer, as thinking we have achieved a great spot in our marriage, let's just let it be, and we start neglecting again. Before you know it, you sort of slowly but surely fall into, actually directly back into autumn, and from autumn back into winter. So you have to work at it. And that is marriage, is you must work at it. A couple of months ago, I read a book, and the author made this brilliant point. He said, it's fascinating how you won't just put anyone behind the steering wheel of a jet or a Boeing. Okay, you have to be trained. You don't want to know that if you're in the Boeing, that the first guy, that the captain sort of says, hey, I'm your captain, and hey, I've never done this before, but I'm looking forward to an exciting ride with you guys. You're expecting a trained person, and the same with marriage is we need training. Okay. We can't just jump in the driver's seat in a marriage with a new beginning and think we know what we're doing. We actually need help. Okay, we need help from more mature couples. We need help through workshops. We need help through reading about it. We need help from the scriptures. But those are the kind of things and activities that people in summer are always willing to do. They're always willing to pursue to make their marriages great. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to hand out a questionnaire. And in the questionnaire, you need to quickly fill it out. And then we're going to see in the questionnaire, where is our questionnaire? Or do I have the questionnaire? In the questionnaire, you're going to figure out prayerfully which season you're in your marriage currently. Okay? So why don't we just give them a chance? Maybe someone can just help. And we'll quickly hand that out. And then it's on page two. It's a three-page questionnaire. Only fill out page two at this stage. There's a little yellow thing on the front. Then page two, the four seasons of marriage, a marital season indicator. And then if you need, does anyone need a pen? We have some extra pens as well. Can you just raise your hand if you need a pen? Every person must have a copy, because now it's going to get even more fun. Because one of you is going to be in summer, and the other one's going to be in winter. Okay, so every person. Okay, it's fairly self-explanatory, so you can just read the top paragraph, fill out the 16 questions, add them up, and then read the bottom. Okay, does anyone still need a form or a paper or a pen? At the back. What do you guys need at the back? Forms. Still some forms at the back? Yeah, second one. Page number 2, the four seasons of marriage. Do we have some more forms for the back there? Anyone else still need a form? Okay, David and Peter Kateri. Do you still have some more? Kortelian. Okay, we have plenty, so there's more on their way. Okay, Steph, over there, Peter Kateri, David, and Minak. Okay, does anyone still need one? David still needs one? That's it. Okay. Is this only page number 2, only the four seasons of marriage, not page 3? Okay, how many of us still need some time? Okay, we'll give a couple more minutes. Okay, who needs some more time? Okay, we'll do one more minute. Okay. Before we move into a break, let's quickly just do a check here. We won't touch on winter and autumn right now. Let's do spring. Who feels like they're in spring? Can you stand? Let's see the spring people. Spring. Why don't you stand if you're in spring? Okay, great to have you guys in spring. Okay, who is in summer? Wow, there's a lot of summer people. That's wonderful. What we're going to do at this stage is we're going to take a 10-minute coffee break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how do I transition through the seasons? How do I make sure I get to summer if I'm not there? And if I am in summer, how do I stay there? So please help yourself to some coffee to my left-hand side. And we'll meet back again in 10 minutes' time.